About 6 weeks ago, Amazon announced their acquisition of Whole Foods. We covered that topic in SourceCast episode 76. And in the subsequent weeks, there has been a lot of articles and news and opinions about whether or not Amazon is too big. Honestly, I didn't have much of an interest in covering the topic, but a few weeks ago while I was researching for the Supplier News blog, I saw a couple of articles stating that Steve Bannon, who is President Trump's advisor, was potentially taking a look at Google as a monopoly, and they were potentially looking to break that company up. So where there is smoke, there's fire. So this week, these large technology firms that are a constant topic on this podcast, are they monopolies? We'll find out. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast, episode 83. Before we get started, a quick programming note. Unfortunately, thanks to the summer news cycle, or the lack thereof, there are no acquisitions to discuss this week. So on to our main story. Is Amazon too big? Should the government break up Amazon, Google, or Facebook? So let's discuss the facts first. Amazon had $136 billion in sales last year. 55% of Americans begin their online shopping experience on Amazon. But to put that into context, online sales still account for less than 10% of all retail sales. And if you're factoring in all retail sales, Walmart is still nearly four times the size of Amazon. And even with Amazon's purchase of Whole Foods, Amazon will only have a 2% share of the $600 billion a year American grocery market, which is 20% lower from a market share perspective for strictly groceries of Walmart and 7% for Kroger. The company now generates 30% of all online and offline retail sales. So 55% of the people shopping online start at Amazon, and the company generates 30% of all online sales. And for context, right now they control 40% of internet cloud services. So they own huge chunks of internet activity. But does that make them a monopoly? A monopoly exists when a company so dominates a market, it can reduce output and cause a rise in prices, over a substantial period of time. This is the kind of market control that is outlawed by antitrust statutes and designed to promote competition for the benefit of consumers. This is the important line here from an antitrust perspective. The government measures antitrust violations by looking at consumer harm, not harm to competitors. When Amazon enters a specific retail market, or consumer market, or cloud market, they typically drive prices down, which is to the benefit of the consumer. So what's the argument? The idea is that these corporations are great at extracting the value of a marketplace and then really bad at deploying the money they accumulate during this extraction process. The example that Fast Company provided is that they take all of the poker chips off the table, leaving nothing for the other players to exchange between themselves. And essentially, the government is accusing Amazon and Google and Facebook of sucking their customers and suppliers dry, and these companies end up destroying the marketplaces on which they depend for revenue. Again, Fast Company says it's a form of financial obesity, where the only thing left for the company to do is to acquire a new market, extract all its value, and move on. So that's Trump's position. And for companies like Facebook and Google, when you combine the ad revenue of those two companies, they take home 85% of all U.S. digital ad revenue. But how do companies like Facebook and Google, which do not charge customers mostly for their services, be anti-competition for the consumer? And it's not like there's not competition. For search engines, Google has competition through Bing and Philadelphia-based DuckDuckGo, which I might also add is very user security focused. So these companies clearly don't have 100% control of the market, but in many of these cases, it could be demonstrated that they have benefited the consumer in any area they've touched. So where's the beef? This is where things get interesting. During the presidential campaign, the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos, who is the owner of Amazon, went after President Trump pretty hard. During the campaign, then Mr. Trump was quoted as saying,
"I have respect for Jeff Bezos, but he bought the Washington Post to have political influence. And I got to tell you, we have a different country than we used to have. We have a different, he owns Amazon. He wants political influence so that Amazon will benefit from it, That's not right. And believe me, if I become president, oh, do they have problems. They're going to have such problems.
His campaign later reiterated this narrative and stated that the Post was being used as political leverage so Amazon doesn't get sued for monopolistic tendencies that have led to the destruction of department stores and the retail industry. Trump has recently said that Amazon is a no-tax monopoly. So let's take a look at that. According to regulatory filings, Amazon paid a combination of $412 million in federal, state, local, and foreign taxes last year. In 2015, it paid $273 million in combined taxes and $177 million the year before that. But is Amazon paying all of their taxes?
Oh, hell no!
They are definitely taking advantage of loopholes. But legal loopholes, which isn't great, but it's legal. Only 13% of Amazon's profits went to federal, state, local, and foreign taxes from 2007 to 2015, according to PolitiFact. For the sake of comparison, that's about half of the average amount S&P 500 companies paid over the same period. Amazon's combined tax burden also fell well below the official U.S. corporate tax rate of 35%. One study says that Amazon paid about 9.3% effective federal income tax between 2008 and 2012. Amazon is clearly taking advantage of tax breaks and loopholes, but it does pay federal corporate tax. It charges sales tax in 46 U.S. jurisdictions, and it also supports federal legislation that would require other online retailers to pay state tax on internet sales. So should Amazon be broken up? Should Google be broken up? That's a tough question. Some people can make the argument that companies like Amazon and Facebook are driving innovation in the economy. They're giving the U.S. a reputation for being a shining beacon of technology in the world. That's why people want to come here and work. And tech consumers, and I use the word consumers lightly since a lot of people don't pay for the technology that they're using, they're savvy. If they don't like something, they'll move and find another application. If you think about it, over the last 5 years, for younger people, as their parents started getting on Facebook, they hopped over to Instagram and to Snapchat. There are no loyalties when the product is free. And if you look at Google, they have been abysmal failures in the social realm. So when they try to compete with a company like Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram, they have failed miserably. There were even rumors that at some point over the last year, Google was considering buying Snapchat for $30 billion, but Snapchat's leadership had absolutely no interest in selling out. And while there's billions of people on Facebook, they're also worried about the cool factor that I had mentioned earlier. Younger generations, because their parents and their grandparents are on Facebook, they're moving away to other platforms, like MySpace. It was hot for a while, then it disappeared. Twitter's in the same boat. So in order for these companies to survive long term, they have to keep acquiring and engaging audiences. And the other piece of this is, especially for Google and Facebook, these aren't critical services. You don't have to use Google. You don't have to use Facebook, especially Facebook. I know that there's an argument that could be made for Google because it's an access portal to information. But again, there's competition, as I'd mentioned earlier. So these aren't critical services. In terms of Amazon, as I mentioned at the top of the program, they don't have complete market domination. There still are retail stores that people can go to shop, as well as other online portals. And Amazon is running a potentially dangerous game. It has been well documented that the company runs razor-thin profit margins, and they're willing to basically not make any money to break into a market and establish themselves. But one bad mistake, like a massive purchase of Whole Foods, could really hurt the company. Amazon's major profit center is their cloud services. And as we covered a couple of weeks ago, Microsoft is hot on their heels, and Google is very eager to take market share away from them. So there is competition. And while Amazon is on top in all of these different areas, they could easily lose that position. That does not sound like a monopoly to me.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sportscast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sportscast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.